Welcome to Speed Vector, the podcast dedicated to the art, risk, and obsession of speed flying. I'm your host, Victor Garcia, speed flyer, skydiver, cinematographer, Navy veteran, and full-time gravity junkie. Every week, we dive into the lines we fly, the gear we trust, and the stories that push us past the ridge and into the void. Whether you're just learning to launch or chasing the perfect line, this is where speed flyers come to connect, learn, and stoke the fire. This is Speed Vector.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Speed Vector Podcast. This is episode number 6. Want to talk to you guys today about a cool topic that I have been thinking about for at least the last year. But before we get into that, little injury update for you. I had a follow-up appointment with my orthopedic surgeon on Monday of this week, and my fibula's healing pretty well. The bone's coming back together, and the pins and stuff that they put in my ankle have set nicely according to the x-ray, and my ankle is in alignment. Everything's looking good. They did unfortunately upgrade my cast to an above the knee cast, which is kind of a bummer, but apparently it helps take some of the pressure off of my ankle because it essentially does not allow my patella tendon to activate. And that's good. I mean, it's not the most comfortable thing in the world to have not the ability to, you know, bend your knee or extend your knee out fully, but it hey, if it helps me heal quicker and stronger, then that's fine with me. I can suck it up for a month. My next appointment is in early August, August 6th, I believe. They basically said, you know, if I keep healing the way that I am, things are looking good, then they will downgrade me to a boot and I'll be able to put some weight on it and start doing PT, which is great. So they also said there's a possibility where it's not fully there and they need to put another cast on. I'm just going to put into the universe that it's going to be a boot and things are going to look good because I do not want to do any more time in a cast and I absolutely have to. Little positive note about the new cast. It is pink. It's like a neon pink, which is super rad. And my buddy Josh came through on his way to Cape Kiwanda the other day, and he signed it and drew a little dude speed flying on kind of like near my toes. So I can just stare at that little stick figure speed flying and just dream of barrel rolling and swooping and not breaking my leg. make sure you subscribe, Instagram, YouTube. If you are listening to this podcast on a podcast platform, subscribe to the show. It's free and it will always be free. Instagram is just speed.vector and YouTube is speedvector. Go on there, listen and watch the videos. I don't have a whole lot up yet, but I will. I'm going to start working on that here soon now that I feel a little bit more normal and coherent, completely off of any kind of medication. And the pain in my leg is minimal to none as long as I don't do too much. All right, so all the housekeeping crap's done. The injury update is done. Let's get into it. Today's podcast episode is about competition and specifically why aren't we competing? You know, in paragliding, there's, you know, the Red Bull X Alps, which is like the Super Bowl of, you know, cross-country hike and fly style paraglide competitions. There's the X Rocks comp in Utah, in Southern Utah. There's the Chelan Open. There's the Tater Hill Open. There's like a million other comps. There are local comps, regional comps, national comps, international comps that go on pretty much all year. And there is a huge amount of people that participate in them. Now, with that being said, there are probably as many people, if not more, that just paraglide for fun, that, you know, just do it for the thrill and the exercise or whatever. They don't have any, you know, interest in competing. Maybe they're not, you know, into cross country. But you know, there's hike and fly comps where you hike up or run up a mountain and then you fly off to the finish line. You know, there's like the real extreme, like the Red Bull X Ops, and then there's like way less extreme, like your local hike and fly event. So it's not like you have to be like this big bad pro that, you know, flies in like the worst conditions possible with ease to, you know, like the barrier of entry for a local comp is probably like really small. So there's a market for it in paragliding. There is also a market for it in speed flying. It's just not that popular. Now, I understand that most, if you look at speed flying, it can be easily compared to that of base jumping when you compare speed flying to paragliding and base jumping to skydiving. It's historically kind of a renegade, you know, no rules, you know, no red tape. You kind of make your own decisions and do your own thing. There's, you know, people do it for the pure act of doing it and for the love of doing it. And, maybe not for like a competition standpoint. And I appreciate that, but I have been playing sports my entire life. I have been, you know, a runner, a distance runner, pretty much my entire life. I enjoy competing, but more so I enjoy having something that I'm working towards other than just like doing a, you know, a line a little bit lower to the ground or a little bit faster, or, you know, doing like a barrel roll or like, you know, whatever, you know, that's all important to me too. But it's also cool to be like, I'm physically training my body and my mind for this competition on X date. There are speed fly comps, like hike and fly comps. I've done one. It was at out in Chelan, Washington, at Air Sports Chelan. We started at the Skydive Chelan hangar. We ran up to the top of Deer Mountain, which is the flight park location, and then we flew down to Gallagher Flats, which is the landing area for the flight park. Super fun. You know, it was all like the friends, like people that are just there that work there or that, you know, at Air Sports Chelan or that are like frequently flying there. I think there was like 6 or 8 of us. It was super fun. It was in the beginning of May. I came in dead last, but it was, you know, it was a ton of fun. They hold that hike and fly event in the, spring and in the fall. So it's just 2 times, basically a season, you know, beginning of the season, end of the season, super fun, really rad event, really low key, but also like, you know, good workout, good camaraderie. It's fun. Get out there and fly with a bunch of people and, do it safely. But beyond that, there really isn't any other comps in Washington. There is a group in Utah that I think they probably started before this, but it really like came into like the quote unquote public eye in 2024. Their name is Speedmo. And, you know, they've got a sweet looking website. They've got all the industry major, you know, industry players backing. They had the cover of the USPA magazine kind of recently. It was like maybe fall or winter of 24. So just, you know, a few months ago, basically. And well, more than a few months ago, if you're talking about the fall, but winter wise, it wasn't that long ago. And basically what they were doing is holding hike and fly events around Salt Lake City. I know the one that was featured is in Cherry Canyon, which is just south of Salt Lake in Draper, Utah. That looked really fun. Looked like a cool event. Definitely, you know, they did a good job of marketing it, and they did a good job of kind of getting the word out about it after the fact, and landed the cover on USPA magazine with a beautiful shot of a of one of the Utah, you know, regulars swooping the LZ on probably an 8-meter R3X, and it just looks sick. It's like a perfect shot, you know. So rad cover, really cool. Side note, to see a speed fly shot on the cover of USPA magazine, that alone shows how far the sport has come in the eyes of USPA. For them to put it on the cover is pretty cool. So hats off to Speedmo for doing this. And, Yeah, they've got a rad website, and I think I haven't seen, I was just on it earlier today on their website, and I didn't see any events listed for 2025. I have a feeling there will be some, probably in the fall, but those guys are flying out there all year. I mean, I don't know why it would be limited to just the fall, but they don't have any events listed at the moment. There is like some, I don't know when it was put up, but it says, you know, something big is coming soon or something like that. So maybe they have some announcements coming up. I don't know. I would love to get out there and do one of their hike and fly events. It's pretty sweet and a great venue too for a hike and fly there in Cherry Canyon. It's a pretty well-established, well-traveled trail in Draper. And if you've ever been to Draper, Utah, their trails are immaculate. You could probably eat off of them. If it wasn't dirt, you could literally probably eat off the ground. It's just a really clean part of Salt Lake City, really well maintained. And that trail is definitely a part of that, that like ecosystem they have built there of just cleanliness. So anyway, there are events out there. It's just, it's not that readily available, nor is it that common or reoccurring, which to me doesn't really make sense because I know that there's a lot of people, at least in my circle, that are into the idea of having something that's like a league, like it's like a regular thing, like once a month or once every 2 weeks or whatever, like, you know, just a bunch of events that you can do in the same venue or a different venue or whatever. But it just doesn't exist. A, because nothing is free, so it costs money to run something like that. It is also time, you know, and B, they might just not want to make it themselves because it's, like I said, it's a little bit involved of a process to get something like this going. Now, if you can do it at an established flight park like Airsports Chelan, then it takes a little bit off because if it's not just like you and your friends showing up to, you know, some sort of hikeable mountain that you can repeat or do once, you've got to think about liability. You've got to think about, you know, some sort of aid station with, you know, like water and some sort of sustenance like food or whatever. And, you know, the liability alone is like insanely expensive. So if you can do it through somewhere that already has that and somehow make it, you know, beneficial to their business, then you can just use their liability as your umbrella because liability is a killer. I mean, in the U.S., it's insane. It's obviously different in Europe. Nobody's liable in Europe. You're responsible for your own life, which I totally appreciate. I think it should be like that in the U.S. Get liability out of the U.S. But anyway, I digress. I have come up with three different categories, I guess, multiple disciplines with each. And I want to dive into them because I think it's really cool. It excites me. It's something that I would like to spearhead in the future. And it's something that I have been thinking about for over a year now, to the point where I actually bought a domain name for this idea literally a year ago. And I obviously haven't done anything with it yet, but I have big plans for it. They are dreams at this point, not really plans, but I'd like to change that. So the first category I'm going to start with is hike and fly. Obviously, I've been talking about that. But within hike and fly, there are multiple things you could do. So let's just break this down to the rudimentary level. So hike and fly, you start at the bottom of a set course, you like a trail, right? Or let's say you start in the LZ, you run or hike or whatever, you get to the top of this trail that's a set course to a launch, you set your wing up, you launch, and then you land at the finish line in the LZ, okay? Now, that's your standard hike and fly race, you know, with the Red Bull X Alps and the Chelan comp and the Red Rocks comp, like you're hiking up something, you are launching, and then you're flying to different turn points. That's like a cross country thing. Obviously in speed flying, we're not going to do that. That's not our MO. We like to go fast. We like to stay low, you know, into terrain, and, it's a much quicker thing. So what it looks like in speed flying is just that, you know, you get to the top of a peak or a hill as quickly as you want to, or as you can, you lay out your wing, you know, you carry all your stuff up there, you lay out your wing, you launch, you fly down to the finish line. That is basic hike and fly. Now let's take that a little bit further. You can have a set number of laps. So let's say we're at Cherry Canyon in Utah. Let's say you can do a one lap race, a two lap race, a three lap race, whatever. You hike to the top, you launch, you fly down, you pack your wing up, you hike back to the top, you launch, you fly your wing down to the finish line, and you're done. That'd be a multi-lap race. You could also do a set amount of time. So Airport Ridge at Airsport Chelan in Chelan, Washington, I built a trail that goes from the Gallagher Flats LZ to the top of Airport Ridge. It's 600 vertical feet. It's about a half mile trail. It's brutal. It'll kick your butt. It's really steep. I spent a lot of time last summer and fall finding the most efficient route up that thing. And then I just walked that trail as many times as I could, you know, via flying down, walking, hiking back up. And it kind of got overgrown in the spring, but then I remade that trail and I took little sprinkler flags and I marked it. And now everybody that hikes there is hiking on that trail. So it's becoming an actual trail, which is awesome. My thought there is, like, you start a race at 7 a.m. and you end it at 11 a.m. So, you know, before it gets thermic or whatever, best opportunity for good weather kind of there in the summer for sure. And you see how many times you can hike from the bottom to the top and fly back down. I love that idea because it takes the pressure off of launching in maybe slightly unfavorable conditions. So if you say, like, okay, it's a two lap race and you're competitive and you get those competitive blinders on and you start, you know, you get to the top on your first lap and you fly down, and then on your way back up on your second lap, the wind gets weird and now you're up at the launch and you're like, well, I can wait and see what happens, or I can, you know, be irresponsible and have these competitive blinders on and just send it, and then you end up getting hurt. If you make it a set amount of time, then everybody's dealing with the same weather conditions, which they would be in the set amount laps, but it takes the pressure off of it a little bit because you're like, okay, I got to wait 5 minutes for a good cycle. That's fine because I have three more hours and I'm going to be able to make up that time, you know? Also, that gives some flexibility in the competitor individually because, you know, you could be someone that's a hard charger that wants to get 13 laps in 4 hours on a 600 vert, you know, court, you know, half a mile hike with a 1 minute flight. You'd have to be hauling booty, but you can do it. I've done it just for fun, you know. Or you could be like, you know what, I'm gonna do one an hour. Or you can be like, I'm just gonna do one. Like, it doesn't matter. It, like, takes the pressure off of, like, well, I'm not gonna be a finisher of this if I don't get the set number of laps. It's like, no, you just, as long as you do one, you're on the scoreboard. And, you know, if that's all you want to do or all you're comfortable with doing, then that's fine. Like, good job. You know, congratulations. You participated. You hiked up this sandy, you know, steep trail and you successfully flew off and landed, you know, so good on you. I like that idea. There's also the ability in these multiple lap hike and fly races to do a relay. So you could have a team of four and, you know, or a team of two, and you alternate every lap, you know, all the way until the time ends, till 4 hours. And then to go to the extreme end in, you know, maybe a favorable weather window, you could have an ultra distance ability, you know, you have the ability to have an ultra distance race. So what does that mean? Well, it obviously ultra is anything over 26 miles in the running world, but, in the hike and fly world, it could just be like 8 hours or 5 hours or 6 hours or whatever. You can incrementally increase the amount of time. So instead of doing a 2 hour race or a 1 hour race or a 4 hour race, you know, you could just make it 6, 8, 12, 24. I mean, I don't know about flying at night, but, you know, you could easily do a 12 hour race, you know, dawn to dusk kind of deal, or, you know, in the Pacific Northwest in the summertime, you know, where it gets daylight at 4 a.m. and it's daylight until 10 p.m., you know, you could in theory hold a race from like 4 a.m. until it gets dark. That in my mind is an ultra distance race because, I mean, if the weather was good and you had the proper supplements, like to fuel yourself and the right mindset and the right training, how many do you think, how many laps of a 600 vert hill could you do in 18 hours? Like a lot. I mean, you could do like 50, 60 laps if you wanted to. I mean, it would be absolutely absurd and it'd be exhausting, but you know, it's possible. These are things that excite me, right? I'm like, how many can I do? If the weather is perfect, you know, like if it's flyable all, literally all day, how many could I do from sunup to sundown? That is something that I have a goal of doing. Obviously I'm set back at the moment with the old leg, but you know, maybe next spring, you know, when the days get a little bit longer, do a sunrise to sunset and just see how many I can do. That's definitely on the list. Obviously I would need some support. I would need, you know, lots like of my own aid station kind of deal, you know, and someone to keep me in check when I start getting tired. Cause you know, you want to be safe. Definitely something to do on a bigger wing. That's a little bit more forgiving. But anyway, so that's the hike and fly discipline. That's discipline number one. That's common, right? That's what everybody does. My second thought is to have a slalom speed run. Oh wait, actually, before we talk about the slalom speed run, let's talk about hike and fly real quick. In my mind, a beginner speed pilot can participate in this all the way up to a pro level speed pilot. You don't have to be a Jedi speed flyer, you know, a Sky God Ninja Turtle under a speed wing to do this, because you can do it safely. You can do it with a bigger wing that's more docile. You can take your time. You know, it's safe for kind of like all skill levels and ability levels, as long as the conditions are right. You know, that's the only caveat to that. But yeah, okay. So beginner to pro level pilots for hike and fly. Let's move on to slalom speed. So what is slalom speed? Well, my mind, it's like a slalom ski run where there is a set course from top to bottom with gates. So what this would look like is those big kind of wing-like looking flags that you see at like in LZs or at drop zones or whatever. And you essentially have a launch and an LZ. And there'd be like two gates at the launch that you have to launch, and then one gate for each turn in kind of a zigzag pattern, and then a double gate landing. So, you know, the time starts when you cross the threshold of the double gates on the launch, and it ends when you cross the double gates in the LZ, and then you get time reduction for each gate that you miss, if you miss any on the way down. Obviously this is a more advanced type of race because what it requires is a pretty decent amount of skill as a pilot. Meaning that, you know, there would be like a height, you know, window that you have to be in for the gate to count. If you're 100 feet above the gate, how do we even know if you crossed it? You know, how do we know that you made a turn around it? It would be impossible. But I also don't think that it would be realistic to be like everybody's entire body has to be under the 10-foot tall post that has the flag on it. Like, I don't think that's realistic. Other things to consider is that, you know, you pose a huge risk when you're flying around flags like that of catching your wingtips and then piling in, you know, going 50, 60 miles per hour. That's a really bad day for everybody, including the pilot, more so the pilot. Could be the last day. So this type of event would require a lot more, judgment when it comes to me as an organizer or whoever else is organizing it in picking the correct pilots, the right pilots to do it, because the last thing that anybody wants is to get, you know, injured, you know, during one of these events. But, you know, to get back to the details of this a little bit, so you would launch through a double gate, and then you would make turns on the outside of each gate on the way down. This would be a huge test of just being able to pilot a speed wing because, you know, unless it's like a very consistent slope, you're going to have to be changing, you know, height, and you're also going to have to be making turns around a point, which would be really challenging. It'd be super fun. I think it would be fun at Off Airport Ridge in Chelan. But I also think you could do it up higher too. I think that there it would really be possible, maybe most possible, most attainable, most approachable to do it off of Airport Ridge and, you know, have like three gates or whatever going down. And then, you know, the finishing gate at the bottom and the finishing gate at the top. So it'd be, you know, five total, probably. I've kind of scoped it out. I've used natural features there as gates for, I don't know, a long time now. And, it's definitely doable. It just would require that the pilots are more skilled, more experienced, and have the right mindset in that not getting hurt or dying is the number one goal. Having fun and finishing the course is goal number two and number three. So, you know, doing this safely in any of these races is the goal, is priority number one. Do it safely. But yeah, in my mind, this would be for the high intermediate to pro level pilot. So probably leave the beginners out of this just because I don't want to tell a beginner speed pilot that they have to be within 10 feet off the ground when they make these turns. It's just irresponsible. It would also be really hard on a bigger wing because you'd have to really be laying it over. And it would be hard to make turns around points that are fixed and not be like too high. So high intermediate to pro level pilots for the slalom speed run. The last category is kind of taken from skydiving canopy piloting comps. I just labeled it as swoop comps. If you look at a CP event in the skydiving world, there's a few different disciplines. There's speed, there are accuracy, there's accuracy, and there's freestyle. I think all three of those could be done in the speed flying world. Basically how they look in the skydiving world is that there's a pond, like a swoop pond, and they put up these soft pylons that you swoop through. So you have to touch the water with your foot to initiate the course, and then you fly the course, whether it's speed or accuracy or freestyle. There's actually no pylons in freestyle, I don't believe, but there are, obviously in the speed and the accuracy. So you touch the water with your foot as you're swooping, and then you fly the course. Speed is timer starts when you cross the threshold of the first pylons and ends when you cross the threshold of the last pylons. Oh, there's actually distance too. That's another category, within the CP world, the canopy piloting world and skydiving, which obviously you could do in the speed flying world too. So add that to the list. In the speed flying world, obviously it'd be really hard to have a pond, but maybe, you know, maybe there's just those just pylon flags or whatever, where your body, just a part of your body just has to be under it. You know, maybe they're 10-foot flags or whatever. You know, we do a speed run, we do an accuracy run. So you'd have to, for speed, obviously it's the same as skydiving. The timer would start as you cross the threshold of the first set of gates or pylons or flags or whatever. We'll just call them gates. And then they would end when you cross the threshold of the last set of gates. I think that'd be super fun. That would be speed, accuracy. You cross the threshold of the first set of gates, and then down the way a bit there is a target. So you have to swoop, so you have to cross the threshold of that pylon set or that gate set, and then you get points for where you land in the target. So, you know, center rings, whatever, you know, and then the rings out going out or whatever, and then if you're outside of all that, whatever, like points, you know, 1 point if you just hit the gates in the beginning. And then you don't land on the target, you know, and then maybe like 100 points if you land in the middle of the target, or 10 points, whatever, you know, that all can be sussed out. But that's my thought for accuracy. Freestyle would be a little bit harder. A lot of the skydiving freestyle comps, people aren't running the prone position harness called the mutant in the skydiving world. They're typically running like the traditional shoulder mounted harness. It's easier to like do tricks within that body position versus like being prone. People do blind men and stuff all the time. That's where, you're swooping and then you like turn around in your harness and you're looking backwards, but you're still flying forwards, if that makes sense. Like you cross your lines up. You can do that. I don't know how realistic it is to have a freestyle comp in the same manner that skydiving comps are, but I think that there is a possibility for it. I just don't know what it would look like. So the freestyle aspect is kind of a maybe. And then the distance obviously would be the same as speed. It's just you cross the threshold of the first set of gates, and then wherever you first touch the ground, like not where you stop, but where like your butt hits the ground or your feet hit the ground and you're not flying anymore, that would be the distance marked. So just to have the ability to measure that, that would be obviously distance. It's pretty simple, self-explanatory stuff. I think that Airport Ridge and, or more so the LZ in Gallagher Flats, which is the LZ for Air Sports Land Flight Park, is a perfect location to do a swoop comp. Both speed, accuracy, maybe freestyle, maybe not, and definitely distance. It's a long grassy area that, you can get enough altitude to do a big turn to swoop, or you could just do a really aggressive 90 off Airport Ridge. And, you could probably a 270, maybe definitely a 360, for sure a 270 off of Airport Ridge. For the big bad canopy pilots out there that like to do, 810s or whatever, you'd probably have to go off a little higher up to your mountain a bit, but that's fine. That's your call. We can have multiple launches for this. It's your call. And then, within that, there'd probably be some different categories for traditional speed wings versus like a parakite, because I can out swoop my 9 meter Rapidos with my 13 meter line all day. Speed, distance for sure, and probably accuracy too, to be honest. It could definitely do some damage with that. So it'd be kind of like cheating. There might have to be like a separate category for that. But anyway, those are my ideas for what we can do to get some competition in to the world of speed flying. Like I said at the beginning of this, not everybody's into competition. Some people do it for the thrill of doing it, for the fun they have, for the, clarity that they gain from this sport. It doesn't have to be a competition, but in my mind, as a competitive person that enjoys competition, that enjoys being pushed by other people in a healthy way, that enjoys having something that is like a goal on a certain day in the future to work towards, to me, it's a huge gap in the sport that needs to be filled. And that's why I want to start a league that at this point would be held at Air Sports Chelan, where, once a month or something, we have an event like this. Whether it's all three disciplines, hike and fly, slalom speed run, swoop comp, or a combination of the three, or just one of the three, I think that it could be something really big that a lot of people would be stoked on and would travel to Washington to do. I also see this being international. I mean, or national for sure. I mean, I don't know Utah as well, but I know that there are some venues there that could be held at. There's multiple places in Washington that we could do it. For just the hike and fly alone, I mean, could have a hike and fly race at Tiger Mountain just outside of Seattle. I think it's like North Bend area. Obviously Chelan I've talked about extensively because that's typically primarily where I fly. There's some other flight park areas around and mountains around, this Washington kind of Cascades area where it would be possible. You know, as far as like the swoop stuff goes and the speed slalom and all that, that was probably more tailored for a place like Chelan where there's a really established launch or launches and there's a really good LZ that's accessible via vehicle very easily. The shuttle rides are super quick. Like, that would be a sick place to do it. In my mind, that's the best place to do it. I know that there are other places that this could be done, but being a Washington resident, having Airsport Chelan be my home flight park, to me, I'm a little biased, but I think that's like the best place to do this. And it's something that I look forward to working with Airsport Chelan to hopefully get going, because I feel like there's a huge need for this. And there's also kind of an underground demand for it that people just aren't really talking about. There's a future in this for sure. And my plan is to get this thing going within the next year. So keep your eyes open for it. Let me know what you think. You know, get onto YouTube on this video and drop a comment. Let me know what you think. Go onto the Instagram, speed.vector, send me a message or comment on a video and be like, hey, what about this? You know, I know that there is more opportunity. There's more ideas out there for competitions that I'm just not thinking of. And I would love to hear your guys' opinion. And I would love to hear your ideas. And I would love to keep talking about this because I think that it is something that needs to happen. And it's something that's going to happen inevitably. So why not do it? You know, why not me be the one that starts this thing up? Why not you be the one that competes in it? But yeah, anyway, I think I'm going to wrap it up here. I'm hoping to get some folks on the pod here pretty soon because I've done 6 episodes. You guys are probably pretty tired of hearing me talk to myself. So if you have anybody in mind that you'd like me to have on, or if you are someone that thinks that you should be on the podcast, let me know, man. Let's talk about it. We'll see what happens, and we'll go from there. But cool, guys. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks for listening. Remember to subscribe on all the platforms and reach out. You know, let me know what you think. And yeah, remember to fly safe, look cool, have fun. We'll talk to you next time. Speed Vector out.